Hey, what's up? This your homegirl Complex Angel, and I'm the Vibe.
And it's your girl Queen K. I'm the Vision.
And welcome back to another episode of Queens with Vibes and Visions. So, Queen K, how has your week been?
Okay, so I partied a little too much over the weekend. dealt with a horrible hangover, y'all. I'm sorry, Lord. I told myself I will never drink again. It ain't for me. I'm old. Like, I realized this weekend made me realize, oh, yeah, baby, you about to be 30. Sit down somewhere. Because I'm still recovering, okay, from Saturday. I had a blast. It was fun. Shout out to Princess and Claude on their union. They were married this Saturday. It was very beautiful. Very beautiful bride. Very beautiful couple. I just wish them blessings and, blessings and positive vibes to them and their family. Congratulations to them. That's my god baby's mama. So congratulations. But other than that, I can't complain. God saw fit for me to wake up each and every day. I'm still up. I still have a roof over my head. My kids are doing well, so I can't complain. This online school is for the birds, but I'm not even going to complain about that no more. I'm just going to take it one day at a time. What about you?
This week has been good for me, and this is a first in many of years since, you know, my mom and my grandma passed. Like, around this time is when they both went into the hospital, and I'm usually sad around this time, but I'm realizing this time around I'm in, like, a better place. You know, like, it's still bittersweet and everything, but I'm not moody every day. You know, I have strength and I have a support system behind me pushing me forward. And, you know, I'm just growing. I'm a homebody. I didn't really do much this weekend, but just watch Attack on Titan. You know, my boyfriend got me into anime now. It's actually a dope season. We on season 2. So, yeah, it's real crazy. Okay. And I put him on to Body of Proof. Yep. You know, it's located in Philly.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got to check that out. But with that being said, Queen K, what is the sip and tea for your soul topic tonight?
All right, kings and queens. So our sip and tea for the soul topic is enablers. We're going to cover the people that enable us and also the things we do to be enablers. Although enabling makes us feel good because we feel like we are doing something good and positive by helping someone, we are also hurting them. So me and Complex will be giving you the good, bad, ugly, and pretty on enablers and being enabled. So my first aspect, Complex, is you. It says, are you an enabler to someone else, or are you the person with enablers? And please explain.
I'm going to say at this point in my life, I'm not enabling anyone, but I have, you know, been the person that enabled others. Like I said before, I was in a relationship with someone who was addicted to Percocets. And every time I saw the withdrawals, you know, that he went through with the chills, the, you know, like just, it's just like being in like hot weather, 90 degrees, wearing a hoodie. It's like, okay, yeah, something's wrong. You know, the stomach aches and everything. And when you take perks, it backs you up. So when you don't have it in your system, you're running. So just seeing the pain, you know what I'm saying? Hey, here goes some money to go and get you some. Like, you know, I would spend, like, I would get them, like, 6 perks at a time. So my check will be gone because, you know, after that runs out, hey, he's coming back. So I was constantly broke. He would constantly be aggravated and everything, and it wasn't helping. It was not helping at all. Like, man, I don't know. It wasn't helping at all. But I've never let anyone else enable me because I feel I feel like I have too much pride to let someone do that. But I will say I think that I wanted to be around people who told me what I wanted to hear instead of what I needed to hear because I didn't know how to take constructive criticism. What about you?
I have had both points in my life where I have been an enabler and also I have needed the enabling. me being an enabler started when I was really young. Just me working like I do, I have enabled a lot of stuff in my family. Like, I've been the provider many times. And I'm not just talking about to my kids, when your parents hit a rough patch, you know, you want to help, but then we have to think, well, they're our parents for a reason. They have to lead the way. And I have helped out a lot, you know, with my parents only because, you know, I don't want to see them where, you know, most people could end up. So I've actually been an enabler in relationships. I have taken on a lot of stuff that, I shouldn't have, you know, especially like, I'm the type of woman where it's like, well, I was like, you don't have to have a job. It's okay. I can take care of everything, and not knowing that I'm being an enabler because I'm allowing a man to sit and they are supposed to provide, you know? So, siblings being an enabler, when it comes to feelings and emotions. Wanting to have someone enable me, because for a while I had this pity party for myself where all I wanted to do was hear, you know, oh, you can do it. Oh, you got it. And I didn't realize that at one point in my life, I was addicted to pain. Not like, getting hit or something like that, but no, like the feeling of loss and helpless and not knowing what to do. I was addicted to that pain because I was looking for someone to tell me constantly, oh, it'll be all right. This is what you need to do. You know, I wanted somebody to hold my hand, but it wasn't helping me at all. It was only hurting me. So, yeah, I've definitely been there before. Okay, that leads me to my next question. When does helping become a problem, and why do you continue to contribute to the toxic ways?
I think helping becomes a problem when you're starting to give too much and it's not appreciative on the other person's party. It's not appreciative. It's not being reciprocated. You start to feel like, well, damn, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing this, this, and this, and, you know, you still treat me like this. Like, you know, because I've been there where I enabled siblings, I enable friends, like, you know, I'm talking about paying their rent for them and saying, don't worry about paying me back. And you know, it gets to a point where, like, I would get mad because it's like, here I am giving so much. And it's like, there have been times where I overdrafted my car doing that. And it's like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't go back to them because I said it wasn't a problem. But it's like, I'll be mad and be like, well, they should have seen that I was overspending. Like, why didn't they stop me? So that's my take on it. What about you?
That's mine, too. I feel like it becomes a problem when the person that does the enabling is becoming drained. Like, when they can't even, you know, cope or deal. Like, I've been to that point before, too, where I've overdrafted my account before for people. And then the main thing is I've been taking money from my kids and my household to help other people, giving my last to other people, and I have 3 mouths to feed. So I think it's at the point where the enabler becomes drained. That's when it's not helping, you know, it's only hurting. And especially when the person can keep coming to you knowing your circumstances. I've been there quite a few times, not just with relationships, but also with, you know, family as well. And the only reason that I continue to contribute to the toxic ways is because I think about, like, oh, my God, you know, what happens if they don't have it? And, oh, I don't want to see them like this. Not thinking about myself at all or my kids. I'm thinking about them. You know, their needs come before mine. And I've always been a people pleaser, and I think that's why I continue to contribute to the toxic ways, even though I know I'm being played or used. I do it because I want to make sure that they are all right, you know, even though I don't have anyone to turn to, per se, if something bad happens to me. But as long as they're smiling, as long as they're all right, that's why I continue to contribute to the toxic stuff.
I'm really glad that you said that, because I've been there before too, you know what I'm saying? Like taken out of my household, not having enough to eat and everything. Mm-hmm. Like there have been times where like I said before, where I only had enough money in my check to pay my bills and I would have money left over, but I was dealing with so much depression. So I would go buy weed, you know what I'm saying, just to smoke my cares away. But then it's like I'm hungry. I don't have no money for food. So, yeah. My first aspect is intentions. So the first mm-hmm. question under mine is, when we enable others, what is our intentions behind it?
Oh, okay. So my intentions is just that it's helping them to get better. You know, I don't do it for a return because I feel like everything I do for somebody does not need to be reciprocated, only because I know God got me, you know. It would be nice if they would have my back like I have theirs. But at the end of the day, I'm getting a reward because I'm being blessed by God for everything that I do. And like I said, is me enabling is just me not wanting to see them in a tight or bad spot. I just want to make sure that person is happy. So that's why.
Well, for me, the reason why I asked this question is because I know that when I enabled others, I would say, you know, don't worry about paying me back. But deep down inside, I would feel betrayed when I didn't get what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Like, I enabled others. Yeah. Like, I paid for someone to love me. I would give, you know, the shirt off my back. I just always wanted to be someone that people can depend on. And not realizing that, you know, you meet people in your life, but it's like you're meeting these same people in your life to see if you learned the lesson the first time. And when I didn't learn the lesson the first time, you know, with my siblings, I found out with my friend. Then I found out with, you know, guys and everything. It's like you have to, you know what I'm saying, get it. But my intentions were to be loved, but it's like after a while when I would get mad at that person, I would be like, well, I did this, 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 and this for you, and you ain't, like, I would throw it back in their face, and it's like, I can't, you know what I'm saying, I can't really get mad because it's like, you've already shown your true colors, so like, why am I so surprised at it? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that ties into my next question. Should we be mad at the person we are enabling for allowing us to?
Oh, that's hard. I do feel like we can be angry only because the person that we're enabling knows what they're doing. You know, they know how to get us. They know how to play on our sympathy to get what they want. Like, they're conning us. And I feel like at that point, we do deserve to get mad, especially when they know what they're doing. I mean, we can't just be mad at them. We have to be mad at ourselves, too, to keep allowing it. I know with me, once I realized the person that I was enabling, once I realized that she knew what she was doing and she kept playing on it, at first I was mad at her, but then I built up an anger towards myself because it's just like, when are you going to learn? When are you just going to say no and pump the brakes? Like, you guys can still have a healthy relationship. You don't have to give every time she wants. You know, say no. You have three kids that you're trying to feed and a household to maintain. So I feel like I used to get mad at the person, but then I started to get mad at myself. And once I did that, that's when I can correct, you know, my mistakes of being an enabler, because who wants to be mad at themselves? Nobody, right? So that's my only way of fixing it. So, what about you?
I'm a person I really don't have a problem with saying no because of the shit that I had to go through these last couple years, paying off stuff and my credit score dropping. And, like, really just seeing that nobody could really help but, like, a few people, you know what I'm saying? I could add you to the list to say that. I didn't have a problem with saying no, but I used to be the person that would get mad at the people that allowed me to enable them. But then I had to just tell myself, like, you can't be mad at them. You get what I'm saying? This person is in a stuck space. You know, they're looking for others to take care of them. That means they don't trust themselves, and they're going to play on it, you know what I'm saying, for however long you allow them to. You know what I'm saying? People only do what we allow. So, like, that's why I had to stop getting mad. And I was like, I can't even throw it in their face what I did for them because it's like, you know, fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me. And I was saying shame on me more than just twice. I was doing it 3 to 10 times, you know, and I just got to a breaking point. So, yeah.
Yeah, I've definitely been at that breaking point a few times, baby. So my last aspect is hurting or helping. First question is, do you think it's beneficial to separate yourself from the situation and not the person, or to separate from both the person and situation that allows the enabling?
Why you think I moved to Philly, girl? You got to. The person is the situation. The person is the situation. Like, I had to move away because I never knew how to say no to people. Like, I was just like how you were. Like, I would put their needs before mine. Like, okay, let me give you an example. I used to help my sister babysit my nephew when he was, like, you know, first born and everything, because baby dad was deadbeat. And, you know, after a while, I wanted to go off to college, and I was feeling bad, like, okay, well, what about her? Who's going to help her? You know what I'm saying? And I just had to, like, be selfish in that moment and say, you know what? I can't really think about you. I have to go, because it was just too much. Like, she was expecting me to watch him too much, like, all the time. And I'm like, I didn't have him. You know what I'm saying? I can't. So I just had to say, fuck it. You get what I'm saying? But
yeah,
I just think that, like pretty much, like, I lost the question. Can you say it again, Queen Kate? Because I lost my train of thought with
that. Yeah. Do you think it's beneficial to separate yourself from the situation, or the situation and the person?
Okay, yep. So, okay. But doing that, it was the best thing for me. Moving to Philly was the best thing for me, because I was able to see the people that I couldn't say no to back then. I was able to see their ways reflected through other people here. And I was able to finally, like, you know what? I get it. I definitely get it. I had my auntie call me the other day to ask for some money, and I was like, nope, I can't. I just put down some money for a new car. I can't. Like, I'm sorry. And she ended the conversation really quick. I love you. You know, they're going to be mad. But it's like, you know, I'd rather tell you the truth than to go broke. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes. So when you just said that part, they going to be mad. And you want to know what? That's the point where they used to get me at. Like, I can't stand when someone's mad at me, you know, especially if it's something I can help with, and that'll make me give in to whatever they ask, you know, and I had to learn, oh, well, shit, my kids be mad at me all the time. I don't never give in to them, so why am I giving in to an adult, you know, that can do for themselves? So, like, it took me a while, but I had to realize, hell, all they can do is get mad, and then what? What can they do to you? So,
that part.
Yeah. But for me, I feel like it depends when you separate yourself. Like, I feel like if it's not a close friend, you know, not somebody that you, like us, we're close, we're more than close, right? But if it was an enabling situation, I wouldn't separate myself from you. I would separate myself from the situation. But if it's different and it's not that, you know, not that much of a history, no, I'm separating from the person and from the situation, because my thing is, I don't have time for it, you know. Someone that you invested years and years and years with, you know them, and you don't want to separate yourself from them, because, you know, I believe in loving from a distance if I have to. So that's where it lies for me when it comes to, like, family and stuff. I'll love you from a distance, because enabling a person is very draining. It is very draining being someone that enables someone. It's draining because you're taking on that other person and all their baggage on top of your stuff, what you got going on. So it's okay to love from a distance. So, yeah, so that's my answer for that one. Last question, some ways we can stop enabling or being the person that enables. What are some ways that we can stop enabling or being the person that's enabled?
Set boundaries. Like, you know, honestly, don't be afraid to, you know, say no. You know, look at it like this, like, hey, you know, are you going to be mad at me for being honest with you, or you want me to be mad at you for you making me go broke? You know, like, either way, I just choose not to be mad. So I'm going to just say, no, I don't have it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know the situation, study the people that you're around. Like, I definitely get where you're coming from. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't, when you have history with somebody, you don't want to separate from them and everything. But sometimes loving from a distance can't be enough either. Because, you know, when you have a lot of history with that person, you know what I'm saying? Like, seeing them hurt hurts you. So even loving from a distance sometimes is hard. And you have, it's nothing personal, but it's like, I have to block you off. Because honestly, I will say this. I was being enabled. When I was in the abusive relationship, I was like, I was going around people who were saying, girl, if you love him, you know what I'm saying, then be with him. So the fact of that I had them to go vent to, everything was okay, right? But I needed them to cut off that supply for me to basically get out of that situation on my own. So sometimes you have to separate from the person. You know, it's just like God. You know, you think he's not there, but even the teacher is quiet during a test. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to rely on just yourself. So that person's going to have to rely on themselves, but they will thank you in the long run. Because honestly, you look up later in life thinking that you're trying to protect them. They like, no. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, you helped me. You helped me get to my downfall.
Girl, even the teacher quiet when they taking the test. I like that. Oh, I like that. That was nice. Okay. So my response to being an enabler is to set boundaries, solidify your position, let them know up front, look, this is that. No, I'm not. This is where I stand with you. Keep it simple. Keep it short. No, that's it. Like, when I went to a therapist, that's all she had me practicing in the mirror, because I told her that I was a people pleaser and that I was drained because I was helping other people. And she told me, you're an enabler. That's why. She was like, I want you to look in the mirror and just say no. When I tell you it was the hardest thing to do, on top of her telling me to tell myself, I love you and no were the worst pieces of homework for me. Like, I struggled hard, and it made me feel good when I was actually able to finally do it to a person, you know, that I was always a yes girl to. So, so those are my ones for being an enabler. Now, being the enablee, I don't know if that is even a word, but it just sounds
It's okay. We make up words.
I put get my own mental health together. Therapy, you know, they are wonderful. Talk to God, change my outlook on life. Like, last week I struggled really hard. I was a bitch, like capital B, to everybody around me. But I was listening to Transformation Church in the Planted Not Buried series, and they pretty much told me to change my outlook on life. Be thankful for what I got. I can't be complaining and mad about what I have, because God wants me to steward over this correctly before he can give me more. So, you know, change your outlook on life, meditate, and start just simply walking by faith and not by sight, because God will lead you. You know, what's for you is for you. So, you know, these are my ways of helping me to cope. And, you know, podcast.
Yes.
Self Love is my rehab. Queens of Vibes and Visions. Get at us.
That part. Okay. So my last aspect is behavior. So my first question under there is, who did you learn your enabling behavior from?
My parents. My parents. I've seen my mom and my father be like people pleasers to people. Okay, so my mom, she is a very strong woman. I love her dearly. Me and her don't always see eye to eye, but you know what mother-daughter combo do. You know, we have our ups and downs. But I've seen her give and give and give her last to people that dog and talk about her, just because she wants to make sure that they're happy, you know? And I'm talking about her family, you know? She's always given what she don't have. If she got a little bit, She's always giving and doing for other people just so they'll be happy. And then at the end of the day, they're still not satisfied. They still got something negative to say. I've seen my dad give and do for people, you know, even though he might be tired. You know, he still just does just because they need him. And it's not the fact that they need him because they can find someone else, but they know that he'll come running to whoever. So I've gotten my enabling behavior from my parents. They are the ones that shaped me into this yes girl. But I am learning to break free from it. My parents still are trying to break free from it. I still see them, you know, saying yes to a lot of stuff that they should say no to. But, you know, everybody learns in their own time. I'm just going to keep praying for them. But, yeah, my parents were definitely the ones who taught me this behavior.
I got mine from my grandma. My grandma, you know, was always a person that was treating everyone in the family. Like, I mean, you know, family really only come around for funerals. But one time, thanks to her, we all got together, and it wasn't even, it was just because we all got together at Golden Corral, and she would, you know, be the one to treat all of us. Like, anytime somebody came into town, anytime she went out of town to go visit, she was always treating people. And I thought, like, you know, everybody's around her, everybody's smiling, this is what you have to do to be liked and be loved, so I'm gonna do that. No, that junk is so draining, you know, like, just going, like, giving your all to people, and then when you express yourself to them and say, like, damn, like, I've been there for you, and they can still turn around and say, I didn't ask for that, you did that, you know, like, just make it seem like, you know, yeah, like just make it seem like it's nothing. Don't get me wrong, I've been that person too. I have said that before, you know what I'm saying? But now I see how it feels, you know what I'm saying, to be on the other foot. Like, okay, that shit don't feel too good. But she, you know, I just noticed that she had a lot of people around her that only loved her for what she did for them. You know, like, I'm talking about, like, around the time when she was sick, just hearing some of the family members, like, just talking about, yeah, I'm about to quit my job because I know that I'm about to get some money when she passed. Just hearing stuff like that. Ooh. Like, it was a lot of reasons why I had to leave, because true colors started to show. So, you know, I learned from her, but now I'm really able to say no, because it is not good climbing yourself out of debt. Oh, Lord Jesus, not
girl,
good.
No.
And I was going through that, but I'm just so glad that I'm at a better place now. But my last question is, do you believe we enable others as a control mechanism to control them from feeling the pressures and emotional effects of their own problems?
Ooh, that is a good-ass question. And yes, I didn't even realize that it was me being a controller. Oh, my God. I just didn't want them to feel. I mean, but in a sense, it is right. We are controlling them so that they, that way they'll, you know. But yes, I didn't want this person to feel the pain or the sadness or the depression. So I would change the mood. I would give whatever. And do whatever, just because I didn't want them to have to deal with their own problems. You know, I feel like they didn't have a choice in what led to them having these type of problems because of what they choose to do. So I felt like if I could just take that away from them, you know, they could live happy. They could be better. They would be okay. They would realize the error in their ways, and then they would come around and, you know, do right. But it don't happen like that. It don't happen like that. In the process of me trying to control the situation, I'm the one that's being controlled, because they know what they're doing by, you know, having me to enable them. They know what buttons to press to make me do what. So in the end, I turned around being the one that's controlled.
Right. That part. I would definitely say it was a control mechanism for me. When I was in my 3-year relationship, there was a point where he had lost his job. And, you know, he wasn't working for 8 months, like, and I wasn't even really putting in effort to find a job. But I enabled, and, you know, I would basically try to handle every situation. When it came time to renew his tags, I didn't want him to have to worry about how he was going to do it because I didn't want him to feel the stress. So I made it my business to pay for that. Like, I treated him like he was my son more than my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, it was a control mechanism, like not in a manipulative way, but because I wanted to just always make things right. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to just always be that person, but I was drained. You know, I was real drained. And, you know, it came a point where he was like up, like, you know, he had got like a good tax refund, and I was in a bind. We were still dating at the time, and I asked, like, hey, can you help me out? You know what I'm saying? Can you help me pay this? And he was like, nah, you tripping. That's too much. Like, it wasn't reciprocated in return. So, yeah, I was that person. Girl. But, you know, I'm glad that I'm in a relationship now where he's like, don't try to take care of me. No, let me do it. So I don't have to do that no more.
Shout out to Big Bro.
Shout out. So, all right. Queen K, what is the as a woman question this week? No, well, wait, actually, we got to do shout outs. Got to do shout outs. You guys, yep. I'm going to let you
That's my
go first.
I'm sorry, y'all.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, no, I'll go first.
Okay, yep, go ahead.
Because I know you have to read it, so I know you're going to just segue right into it. So the question last week was, as a woman, what is one thing you have to have on point to make you feel beautiful? On Instagram, rugrat.na said my skin. Gloss Glam Box said my hair. Somebody else said, Lady Fox 9916 said eyebrows. And Miss D. Ortiz said, my nails. So, yep, those are mine. What about you?
Okay, for me, this was on Facebook. Shout out to Reese Smith. She said, nails or eyebrows. Shakita Forrest. Hey, Keita. She said, my crown. Okay, queen. Dorcita Jones said, hair done. Keasia Palmer said, my hair. So, all right, ladies, I feel y'all. The hair do got to be on point. The hair got to be on point. So
the edges, too.
Yes, we got to have edges, okay? My edges ain't been done in a while. Y'all, if y'all seen what I was looking at just now. But anyway. So my as a woman question. You ready, Complex?
Sure.
Okay, so the question is, as a woman, do you fear change because of the loyalty you have for other people?
I don't know what the hell you and DC have been drinking, but y'all been going to the gods with y'all questions.
Girl,
y'all been going to
come
the
on
gods.
Now.
So do you say, do I fear change? Of course I do fear change. I sometimes sit and wonder, like, the people that's in my life now, you know, will you guys always be there? Because, you know, as we get older, we go through so many different, like, stages, and, like, I would just always want us to grow together and be on the same accord. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I've let a lot of toxic people go, so I don't really have to fear that we won't grow together, because we all want the same thing, and, like, we all are just, like, we're go-getters. We don't ask for nothing. We don't ask for no handouts. We have too much pride. We be telling each other to shut the hell up when we cash app each other money. So, you know, I don't think I have that fear. I think last year I was very skeptical because I was hanging around people and I'm like, dog, what am I doing? I don't feel inspired. You know, like, I'm always broke after hanging with you guys. What's going on? So I was having those questions last year, and I didn't want to lose the friendship because of the loyalty, but it was like, I feel like you're an anchor and you're holding me down. And it was just getting to a point where I was just really fed up, and it was just time to let go. What about you?
Okay, so I developed this question because I have said it plenty of times before that I do fear change. However, I never told anybody the reason. My reason for fearing change is my loyalty to other people. I just feel like, you know, when you spend so much time, okay, and I'm just going to be open. So, okay, this is my platform. You just take it how you want it.
I've been working for a place
for 11 years. I mean, I have to.
Yep.
That's the only way I'm going to get some closure. I mean, but yeah. I've talked to God about this situation, and he told me to sit still, okay? But I've been working for a place for 11 years, okay, giving my all, right? Giving my all, because that's how I was brought up to do. I was brought up to be a hard worker. So I don't expect anything less. You know, this is what I do. I'm always thorough in everything I do. That's that Scorpio in me. But anyway, so I'm at the point where it's just like, wow, 11 years, what else can you do? But then it's just like, are you really ready to pull away from this person after giving her so many years? You know, how would the company survive, or how would she think? Would y'all relationship still be on a friend basis, or will it just all go away just because you leave the company? So I've been battling a lot with changing my career. It's like I'm at the point where this place is like my home. Like, hell, if anybody know me, they know where I'm at 24/7, you know. Rain, sleet, or snow, sickness, I'm there. But I'm at a point where I'm approaching 30, and I know it's probably like a midlife crisis thing, but it's just like, what else is out there for Kinect? What else can Kinect touch, you know, before my time is up? You know, I want to be known for something. I want to reach my purpose, and I don't want to feel stuck, but my loyalty to the company and to the owner is just like, well, damn, what would that make me, you know? How would this all turn out? So that's why I've been fearing a lot of change. But I did talk to God about the situation. Like, I was at a point where I was crying, boo-hooing, like, almost every day. I was upset, angry, and I had to talk to God, and that's why I ended up going to the Planted and Not Buried series with Transformation Church. And pretty much God told me to sit still. You have to show me what you can do with a little before I can give you a lot. Show me what you can do in this place before I can move you somewhere else. Because I was filling out job applications. But what hit home for me was the fact that, one, my attitude had changed, because I was like Kevin Hart. I mean, not Kevin Hart, Cat Williams. Like, I won't be in this bitch for long. You know, just random stuff. Like, I was being mean, I was being snappy, but it you know, it all blew back up in my face when the jobs was like, well, we're not hiring for this position anymore. And, well, although you might be a good candidate, but not for this position. Like, when you get so many rejections, this is like, okay, God, what are you trying to tell me? And I feel like he's trying to tell me, I'm not done with you in this place first. When I'm done with you in this place, I can open up the doors for you at that place. I need you to sit still and know that I know what I'm doing. So I had a very humbling experience, but I have feared change due to the loyalty for other people. But now I'm not even connected with I'm not even thinking about the person anymore. It's just my commitment to God. I just want God to lead me at this point. Like, I had to realize that I'm doing everything onto him. Every time I go in that place and punch that clock, I need to do it as if I'm working for him and not, you know, that company. So that is my As a Woman question, y'all. I'm sorry if it was long-winded. I just need to get that off my chest. Y'all don't understand.
Hey, this is our platform.
I've just been dealing with it, okay? Thank you.
This is our platform. We do what we want. Do you have any glowing businesses?
I do, actually. My glowing business for the week is it's starting up. They have their I think their first grand opening this Sunday at 2 p.m. It's a place we call home. It's for women and children and teenage mothers, teenagers that's runaways. It's pretty much like a safe haven. It's a shelter that's being started up. Shout out to Tina, shout out to Michelle, shout out to Nisha. These women and family, you know, they're all family. They are starting this women's shelter, and they're going to have anything from child care and tax preparing, credit counseling, education, empowerment, transportation, clothing, housing.
Yes.
They are also accepting donations. So you guys can reach out to Tina, or you can reach out to Nisha Taylor. And also, please be there for the grand opening. I will have to get the – just look out on my on the Instagram page and my Facebook page, which is Kynette Renfro. I'll probably share or put all the details in there so you guys can donate, or even if you're in Detroit, you can go to the open house just to show your love and support. They're doing something big for women out here and children and misguided youth. So please, 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 you know, even if you don't have much to give, send a prayer, you know, for them to prosper. So that is my glowing business. It's called A Place We Call Home, Inc. What about you, Complex?
So I'm shouting out Tanisha Smith this week. She is the owner of the Booking Boutique. I think she just works with people in PA right now, but she meets all of your travel needs, including Caribbean getaways, cruise vacations, and much more. As a matter of fact, if she does that, I think that anybody outside of PA can come to her. But please check her out at www.TheBookingBoutique.com. She's a travel agent. So, okay. I mean, I know right now with COVID shutting everything down, but, you know, hey, hopefully we're praying next year we can get back to traveling and, you know, things are better.
Get on them trips.
So, that is my glowing business. Okay, Queen K, what is the AO Kings and Queen code?
Before I get into that, I do have something to say.
Oh, shoot.
Okay.
I forgot.
It's okay. I got to get this off my chest, y'all. This has been heavy, heavy on me due to the fact that I am a Black woman and I am raising a young Black girl. We are the most disrespected and not appreciated beings in this world. I just want to ask, how the hell do a neighbor's wall get more justice than a young lady who was shot and killed in her own home, in her own bed? This is, I was really upset with the verdict that was reached for the killers of Breonna Taylor. I feel like everybody involved with that case, from the judge to the prosecutors, should all be arrested. There is no way in hell you can tell me that a wall is more important than a human being. That woman did nothing. Everything those cops did was a lie. From the story that they released to them even arresting her boyfriend, everything they did was a lie. And you mean to tell me no justice was served? So they thought just because they gave money that, oh, all would be swept up under the rug. No, that money is not going to bring that baby back. That money is not going to comfort her parents on her birthday, on Christmas, on Thanksgiving, on anybody's occasion, because her face will not be there. You know, she will not be there. So I just don't understand, y'all. We need to come together. Like, we need to uplift the Black woman, because there's nothing like us at all. There is nothing like us. We are the giver of life to everyone. It is a gene in us that can produce any type of person. Like, look it up. I don't know exactly what it's called, but we are the true life givers. Like, we are the reason for everything. So please, please, y'all, Black men, I need y'all to stand up for us all the time, not just when shit like this is happening, just all the time. Respect us, uplift us. Like, don't let them, you know, disrespect us like that. And you guys shouldn't do it either. They get it from, anyway, I'm not going to. I'm getting a little worked up. But, yeah, that shit just really did something to me, because it's just like, I wonder, I still be feeling like sometimes she didn't get as much clout as she should have, you know, because when her story first happened, it was kind of like hush hush, and then it started being a big thing. So I feel like we need to stand up for our Black queens. Y'all think that y'all just have the target on y'all back. But really, it's us. We have the biggest target on our back, and what happens to us is it's kept quiet. Nobody cares. Nobody rallies, you know? It's always happening to us, even more. Queen, stand up. God got us. Don't even worry about it. We going to overcome, because that's all we know how to do is overcome and succeed. We are worth it. We are special. We should be respected, and we should definitely be appreciated.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say, girl.
Oh, no. I'm definitely saving that for the no apology thought, but thank you for bringing that into the platform. And never be afraid to be long-winded. We're Black women. This affects us, too. Like, it really shocked me, definitely shocked me. Like, I put her picture on my Instagram story and played Steel by Teyana Taylor in the background because it's like, it's sad. She worked for the police force. And it's like, it's like, damn, for what? You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing I did, you know what I'm saying, didn't even give me, like, you know, justice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I put my life on the line, and my life's not even worth getting justice. That's messed up. Well, I didn't really have nothing too important to say. Mine's was like on a lighter note. I just want to know, why do we have to listen to songs around a certain time of the year? Okay, I did a You Can Sing playlist the other day, okay? And I put like songs from Boyz II Men to Luther Vandross on there. And I was listening to Let It Snow by Boyz II Men because they really, that song does something to my spirit, okay? And I was just I was asked, why am I listening to a song and it's not Christmas? Listen, why? Who said? What rule says that we have to listen to this on holidays? I just
Black
wanted
people.
To know. Just wanted to know. Huh?
Black
people, we gotta get it together.
We did that to ourselves.
We gotta get it together. I swear. I'd be sitting over here scared. Somebody gonna come knock on the door and tell me to turn it off. Like, it's a song. Shoot. But yeah, that's all I had to say. So, with that being said,
what the Black people doing?
Man, I was jamming. But with that being said, what's the AO Kings and Queen quote?
Okay, you guys. These two quotes are sponsored by Pinterest. Okay, so my first one is, always stand up for what you think is right, even if you are the only one standing. What I take from this is never be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. You know, no one can tell you that you're right or wrong. It's how you feel. Your feelings are valid. What you choose is valid. It's okay. So just always remember that you do have a right to your own opinion. So stand up for what you believe in. And last but not least, this one says, people will throw stones at you. Don't throw them back. Collect them and build an empire. When I read that, I was just like, oh, okay. That got me together because it's just like, just show them. Why keep going back and forth? Because when you're going back and forth with somebody, you're prolonging your process to rise to the top. Don't stop and look back to argue with them. No, keep on going. Take whatever they got coming at you so that way you can use that to prove them wrong. They said you wasn't going to start that business. Hell, start writing a business plan. Boom, right back in their face. You know, so many people have so much negative to say. Don't address it. Just use it and show them to their face. Look, yeah, I did overcome that. Next, what else do you got for me? Always go one step ahead. You don't have to always address a situation. And those are my AO Kings and Queens quotes, sponsored by Pinterest. Complex with that no apology thought for the week.
Okay, so I love my kings out there, but I just really got to talk to the women because I was very taken aback, you know what I'm saying, at the verdict for Breonna Taylor. So I came across this quote that was retweeted by Cindy Noor at Ebony_cutie. It says, men will tweet, protect Black women, fresh off of cheating on one, fresh off of gaslighting one, fresh off of making us the butt of your jokes. Protect Black women means more than just physical safety. Get hip quickly. And I say that because apparently Tory Lanez decided to speak out, I think the day of or the day after the Breonna Taylor verdict, talking about his innocence and telling people to go listen to his album about, you know what I'm saying? And so he, like, basically like him and Megan Thee Stallion were dating. Listen, we have to stop tearing each other down. We have to stop tearing each other down on both ends. You know what I'm saying? Like, Black women, you know. I'm sorry, yo.
I'm sorry. Okay, my bad. Ooh, I'm sorry. It made me mad. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, sorry, but no, with just that being said, like, honestly, it's like Queen King said, yes, you know, black men, you have a target on your back, but we do too. We are the most disrespected and the most unprotected, you know, woman, like, in America, the black woman, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I also seen somebody reshare, I guess, a rally going on for people saying free R. Kelly, and it hurt me to see black women in there, and it's just like, we have to wake up. We have to wake up. Stop thinking that people are, you know what I'm saying, what they sing. Everybody's human. Everybody has problems. You know, and a lot of people in the spotlight can't really truly be themselves because their image matters more than their flaws. So if they're suffocating their flaws, you know what I'm saying? R. Kelly had issues. I'm sorry. I love him. Man is very talented. He had issues. But we have to stop coming to this reality to let him free. No, it's time for him to deal with his karma. You know what I'm saying?
Hell,
he's
yes,
been enabled
he
too long. You get what I'm saying? But I'm just saying this. Black women, you matter. You are loved.
Yes.
Your value does not determine, you know what I'm saying, being like having a man in your life. You have value outside mm-hmm. of a man. Please go find it. Black women out there, I challenge you, next time you post a selfie, please put some self-love affirmation words under there, or just put hashtag I love my beauty and put for Breonna Taylor, put for Sandra Bland, put for all of the black women out there who have died and and justice still has not been done. And that's my no apology thought.
Yes, yes, Queen. I'm sorry for interrupting. My bad.
It's okay. Okay. But with that being said, I'm Complex Angel. I'm the Vibe.
And I'm Queen K. I'm the Vision.
And peace and love. We're out.